if the children who can be in children's church will come. Wow. Pre-K to fourth grade. Huh? Okay. This is going to be the easiest Sunday you've ever had. Now, if you guys are doing it again next week, I'm going to stop it and make you go back to your seats. And I'm going to go do it. Okay. All right. Lord, bless these little ones, raise them up to be lovesick followers of Christ. Amen. Amen. Somebody got left behind. Good morning.
Good morning.
You doing okay? Alrighty. You're doing good, good? Was that a double good? Okay, well, we can go home now. Because I turned it off when I sat down. That's right. You turn your Bibles to Ruth, the book of Ruth. If you can find Judges, like if you can find Joshua, then Judges, then the book of Ruth. So who here has Ruth in your name? Middle name, first name, anybody? Wow. We have a cat that adopted us. The vet tried to give me a cat, and I talked to Michael, who's sharing the house. Michael threatened to never speak to me again if I brought that cat home. You already had a dog. But then about 2 weeks later, God's will was for us to have a cat, and the cat showed up, and then Michael loved the cat, and Michael changed the name, called the cat Frederica, before we ever knew if it was a boy or a girl. It turned out to be a girl, but she goes by the name Fred. But the vet wants to change the name to Ruth, and Michael was at the vet and absolutely refused, put his foot down. But this cat's name Frederica, so that's got nothing to do with anything except that it has the Ruth connection to it. The book of Ruth is about kinsmen redeemers. It's about redemption. And we're not covering the whole book of Ruth. We're just going to do some stuff in chapter 2. I'm going to read the chapter and then come back and just talk about a few things. But Boaz, the great hero in the book of Ruth, was a kinsman redeemer. And to be a kinsman redeemer, he's a type of Christ, there are three qualifications that you have to meet. One, you have to be kin. You have to be blood kin. That's why God's solution for fallen mankind is he became one of us. There is forever a human God, a part of the Trinity, Jesus. 100% God, 100% man forever. And so Jesus became human so he could be our kinsman redeemer. Secondly, not just kin, but you had to have the ability, the wealth, or the ability, the strength to redeem a person in their life. And thirdly, you had to have the will, the desire. And so Boaz is a perfect picture of Jesus. And we're still in the season of incarnation, so therefore, by the way, everybody keeps saying Happy New Year, but there's a better one than that, Merry Christmas. Because we're still in the season of Christmas. It's a 12-day season. It's an event. We don't celebrate a day, we celebrate an event that changed the world. It's like Easter is a 50-day event that we celebrate intentionally because it's an Easter. Easter was an event, the resurrection, that changed the world forever. So the incarnation, this kinsman redeemer, the book of Ruth, if you've never looked at it that way, is all about incarnational reality. It's all about the fact that Boaz is the type of Christ, and for God to redeem us, he became a man, took unto himself all of our debt, took unto himself all of our fallenness, so that he could crucify the old person, the broken, fallen, false shell of a person that was a result of the fall of man, and raise up a new creation in union with him. Take his name. And that's the whole story of Ruth. I mean, I'm really tempted at some point soon to teach the book of Ruth again and just talk about grace. Because the book of Ruth is about this one who he redeemed. He had the desire. He had the ability. He bought up all of her debt, changed her destiny, changed her identity, gave her his name. Everything that belonged to him belonged to her. It's just an amazing book. And she became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus, by the way. So this is chapter 2. So I'm going to read along. That's why I'm sitting in the chair like a kindergarten teacher. I'm in the chair, and I'm going to read through the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and then come out back and point out a couple of things. But if you don't know much about Ruth, or even if you do, if you listen. So you got to listen for a few minutes, right? So go ahead and thank Jesus for the grace to listen. Don't look at your phone, because that's a mortal sin from which you will never recover from. Unless you're reading from the book of Ruth on your phone. So I'm assuming, because you wouldn't lie, because I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus, you wouldn't lie to God that you're looking at your phone, doing other things than just reading the book of Ruth, okay? So if you're reading it on your phone, get there, make the letters bigger so you can see them really well, and follow along. Now, Ruth and Naomi have left Moab. They've come back desolate. Ruth is the only daughter-in-law. Orpah wouldn't come, but Ruth has, and she's committed herself to caring for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And they're at a place where they're starving to death. And so one of the things the poor could do, they could go out and become gleaners. What a gleaner would do is a gleaner would follow the reapers. Reapers were people that a person, a landowner, would hire. And they would go and harvest the barley or the wheat or whatever it could be. And they get paid to do that. But the gleaners were the poor. And they would go and pick up scraps, things that were left. The reapers were even supposed to leave a little bit in all the corners of the property for them to gather. But it wasn't much. They were just to come and get the leftovers so that they wouldn't starve to death. And Ruth and Naomi had reached the point in chapter 2 where the decision was made, go out, find a field where they're harvesting, and then be a gleaner. That's the lowest form of anybody working in the field. Because they're not getting anything, they're not doing anything that they're getting paid to do, but they're getting stuff for free, though it's not much. So, I just want you to see, and maybe what I'll do is I read through that and just stop and go, grace, this is a grace, look at this. Because God's trying to teach us some things about his grace. Amen? Now, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, now remember, she's a Moabitess, so she's not a follower of Jehovah yet. Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. The Old Testament word for grace. And she said to him, go, my daughter. Now she's going to glean, but she's wanting to go to glean in the sight of someone she'd find favor. Now there are probably a number of planters, landowners, that would have given her some favor, because it's supposed to be a part of the Jewish law to let gleaners, let the poor come. But it was often done very begrudgingly. A lot of the landowners didn't like giving up that stuff for free. And the people who hated it the most were the reapers. Because the reapers were doing that and gathering stuff, and they were getting their portion because they were being paid to do it. And these gleaners were coming along and getting stuff. They were like freeloaders. All right? And so she's wanting to find someone who there's favor, because there are many who don't give you favor. That's why she makes that statement. I'm going to go out, glean in the fields. I'm praying that I'm going to find someone whose eyes I'll find favor. And the mother says, her mother-in-law says, go. And so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, when it says here in verse 3 that she happened to come, if you look over in your margins, if you have a good Bible, the Hebrews literally, her chance chanced upon. Her chance chanced upon the fields of Boaz. Now here again, they're starving. She's going out to do something that's kind of embarrassing. She's looking for a field where she'll find favor, because there are fields where you don't find favor. And she goes out and her chanced upon the fields of Boaz. Man, what a lucky girl. The reality is, this is like a tease word in the Hebrew, like there are no chances that your chance upon. We don't live by luck or bad luck. We serve the God of Esther. Remember all the stuff in the God of Esther, the story of Esther? I mean, there are people out there right now that are making decisions concerning your life that you've never met. But they're making decisions that at some point down the road are going to affect you, are going to usher you in at a faster pace to your fulfilling your destiny to manifest your union with Christ, to exercise dominion in His name. Makes you want to do Esther again, doesn't it? So her chanced upon the field of Boaz. Now she's looking for favor, and the favor's already happening. My goodness, if we could live our life every day like when you get stopped at the traffic light and you're trying to make it because you're in a hurry, could you just see that as favor? Roxanne called me this morning because we weren't sure. We had nursery workers and couldn't get them to answer, and so I'm not ratting Roxanne out, because she probably walks in the spirit a lot more than I do, but there was a little bit of panic in her voice, and Roxanne said something, so forgive me, Roxanne, for using an example, but Roxanne used the I don't want to word. What you should never use as a Christian is the I don't want to and the I can'ts. Because you live in favor, because you're under the dominion of favor, you're in Christ, you live by His I want to's and I can. You with me? And so what was fun, it's a great lesson, for I've had to learn this lesson many times, so I'm not picking on Roxanne. But when we got here, when I pulled up about the same time Rox did, Rox said, the car's here, maybe they're there. That's what I've been praying for. And I said, well, a lot of times the phone doesn't work right. And of course, they were here. I said, here's the lesson of faith, is that you were praying for something that was already provided, but you just couldn't see it. Faith is like that. Faith counts on grace. Remember the story, it's one of the songs, the phrase was used, the story of Elijah by the brook Cherith. And he declares there's going to be a revival. He goes and hides himself by the brook Cherith. And he spends however much time there it takes for the brook to dry up. But he's being fed every day by ravens twice. He drinks water from the brook. They bring him meat and bread every day. And ravens are unclean. You ever had unclean things happen in your life you had no control over? I mean, unclean people act bad. Unclean circumstances go. Did you know that God's blessing you there? There's His favor in that. If we just don't complain. Do you know that Philippians 2 says not complaining is one of the great evidence to the world that we belong to Jesus? Because we're people of grace. And so when he goes, and the brook dries up, and the Lord tells him, you need to go to Zarephath. We've talked about this just recently, so forgive me. But he says, when you get there, I've commanded a woman to provide for you. Now, God said, I commanded a woman to provide for you. Now, when he gets there and he sees the woman, she has no clue that that's happened. So did God lie about it? I mean, she didn't know it, but God had made a commandment and it impacted her life and impacted Elijah's life. Matter of fact, I'm assuming that he assumed it's going to be a Jew, not a Gentile. Ravens were bad enough, but not some Gentile woman in Zarephath. And obviously a rich one, because they were in a time of famine, and she was going to take care of course, her family and him too. He gets there, and it's a poor woman who's a Gentile who's gathering up enough sticks to fix one more meal, because that's all the flour she had left, so that she and her son then can die of starvation. I mean, wouldn't you, if you were Elijah, complain a bit? I mean, wouldn't you like go, well, Lord, wouldn't you be texting God going, look, what about this whole thing? Woman is a Gentile. Ravens were bad enough. You said you commanded her. When I asked her about it, she says, well, I can't feed you. I barely have enough to feed me and my son. I said, that's just bizarre. But God, that's how grace works. Quit trying to figure it out. We believe with our heart, not with our head. If you're battling in your head, you know it's the enemy. Childlike faith happens in the heart. Turn your head off and believe him even if you can't see it, even if it doesn't make any sense. And so sure, chance chanced upon the fields of Boaz. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Now, she's in the fields, and Boaz now comes from Bethlehem out into his field, just happened to come while she was there. Another lucky break. Grace. And Boaz came from the Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, and may the Lord bless you. And then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Now again, think about the odds of her showing up just the day that he shows up. And she's there at just the time that he shows up. Grace. And the servant in charge, the reapers, answered and said, she is a young Moabite woman who returned from Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from morning until now, and she has been sitting in the house for a little while resting. There's like a shed thing. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Why? Because not every field you're going to find favor. Remember when she left Naomi, she said, I'm looking for a field that I'll have favor in their sight. Because terrible things could happen to you. As you hear the story, as Boaz warns his reapers to not do certain things, he's protecting her. Don't go into other fields. You're not going to find the favor there that you find here. Oh, it's a good thing her chance chanced upon this. Do not go in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. See? Because that would happen in another field, maybe. Terrible things could happen. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw from. Oh, you're going to go drink from what the people who are getting paid, you get to drink from their jars of water. Now, why would the reapers be dangerous? Well, one, the sins in the world, but two, they resent gleaners. They're getting paid. They're getting what they deserve. And this woman's getting what she doesn't deserve, and that's not right. Grace makes people mad who are working in the same field. Because people want to get what they deserve. They want to measure their success spiritually and measure what they believe God deserves, that what owes them in terms of blessing. That's why it says at the end of Galatians 4 that the law will persecute grace. Then look what happens in verse 10. She falls on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor, grace, in your sight? That you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner." You ever been like that? Why have I found favor with you? Because I don't deserve it. She'd worship false gods. I mean, that's the law. That's the enemy telling you that you can't expect favor because you don't deserve it. Think of the things that you've done. Think of your past, things that you've thought. Times when you wanted to run from the Lord. Times when you did for a season. Anybody here? Do you notice that favor didn't create license? His favor didn't promote her to go, "Oh, well, okay. If I have favor in your sight, I'm just going to steal everything I can get my hands on. Live kind of the way my flesh wants to live." That's not what grace does. Grace humbles you. Grace brings you to your knees. Favor just wipes you out, wrecks you for Jesus. You can't beat people into surrender. And it count. It won't last. You have to keep beating them up. It's favor that brings people to surrender. And Boaz answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me." What? What is he saying? I know everything about you. Everything. Really? You mean the one whose field my chance chanced upon, my Boaz, he knows everything about me? See, if he knew everything about me, he wouldn't want anything to do with me. But that's not how grace operates. And how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. For the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. And then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. And indeed, you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Remember, she said, Why are you being kind to me? I'm a foreigner. He says, you're speaking kindly to me, and I'm not like one of your maidservants. This is grace. God doesn't change you by yelling at you, getting you in the throne room of prayer and then pushing you against the corner and threatening you. He doesn't change you by pouting and closing the door and not talking to you. It's God's kindness that draws a person to repentance. It's grace that transforms us. And at mealtime, this is, remember, she's a gleaner, not a reaper. Gleaners don't get this kind of favor. At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And she ate, and was, the word is satiated, not satisfied. It's satiated and had some left. The word satiated means if you took a sponge, well, I'll give you an example. When we had the great winter blast last weekend, and so you leave your water dripping, you know, in the faucets, all this stuff. I don't even know if that stuff works or not, but I've done it all my life, and so my shower, it's happening. I've got a brand new rug in front of the shower, and it's got this like rubber bottom and this really thick, cushy top. And so I left the water running. You know, not bad, water running. So I realized after a couple of days, I went to go take a shower, and my feet got wet on the rug. It wasn't wet, it was satiated. In other words, it came up from the bottom. I don't know how that happened. It's, whatever it did, it absorbed all this water, and it wasn't just wet. If you touched it, water came out. You with me? My feet got wet. Really wet. That's satiated. To where you can't hold anymore. And if you touch me, it's just going to come out. That you're so full of grace that if you touch me, you come in contact with me, you hear my voice, you listen to my response, grace is going to come out. I love, one of the things I pray into a lot lately, I love when Elizabeth, who is the recipient of amazing grace, she'd been barren all of her life, now she's 6 months pregnant. I love about Mary, because Mary was the Holy Spirit, that was grace, grace, grace. You know, the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. That's a great way to live. You know that? I mean, that wasn't just a special thing for Mary, like, you understand? That's a way, great way to live. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And so the first thing she does is she runs to Elizabeth's house, her cousin, who's experiencing a miracle. She's experiencing a miracle. When you're experiencing miraculous grace, you want to be around people who are experiencing miraculous grace. Not naysayers and negative people. Childlike people want to be with childlike people, because grown-ups, when they get plugged in, they ruin everything. Spiritual grown-ups, you know what I'm saying? And so she goes, and when she walks in the door, and she just announces that she's there, at the sound of her voice, John in the womb was filled with the Holy Spirit. So was Elizabeth, and she began to prophesy. I thought, Lord, to be that spongy, to have my sponge of my life to be so satiated that the sound of my voice can cause people to leap in their heart and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a cool thing to pray into, right? You're right. Let's listen, guys. Have your imagination tweaked a little bit. This is normal Christianity. That's not just a cool story in the Bible about something cool that happened. She was just a person like you and me. to walk into a room, open your mouth, and by opening your very mouth, it carries the grace of God, and it causes people who don't even see you, but they just hear your voice, to leap with joy and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm looking for. That's the normal I'm going after. So when you spoke to your husband and your wife this morning, did it carry that kind of anointing? Or did your husband or wife feel the flames of hell? You understand what I'm saying to you? When your chances upon the fields of Boaz, that's how God wants us to live. She was satiated, had some left. And then she went and rose to glean again after the meal. And Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Why would they rebuke her? Why would they insult her? Because she's getting what she doesn't deserve. She's experiencing favor. They're getting what they earn, and they resent someone claiming favor, claiming grace. She was gleaning in the corners of the field. Now he's saying, actually pull some stuff out of the bunches that you're carrying, that you're working hard for, that you make wages on, and leave it for her. Now, you see, her end result was much better than the workers. Grace, the outcome of those who walk in grace, is unrestricted favor. Those who want to live under the law, still bent towards themselves, trying to perform for God, will get what you can work for. She transcended being a gleaner. These reapers stayed reapers. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and was about an ephah of barley, which is 35 pounds. They didn't expect to bring home 35 pounds of barley if they were a gleaner. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. She also took it out of and gave it Naomi what she had left, gave to Naomi what she had left over after she was satisfied. What happened? Remember, she ate, was satisfied, had some left over? She was satiated. Well, she brought the 35 pounds of barley, and then the food that she had left over, she gave to Naomi. That's how ministry happens. That's Christianity. It's the overflow of grace. Her mother fed on the overflow of grace in Ruth's life because of Boaz's generosity. Nothing more tragic than a Christian trying to minister out of their emptiness. I mean, it feels like that. But someone giving out of their overflow of their own saturated heart is awesome. Supernatural. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Why did you glean today? I mean, where did you glean today? Where did you work?" Her mother-in-law was wondering, how do you get 35 pounds of that and you bring back food from a meal, because they don't feed you when you're a gleaner. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man whom I work for today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field." only go in the field of favor, grace. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean to the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. If you're a Christian, and I'm assuming you all are, you're born again, you've had a real encounter with the Lord, that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. That's the test. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 13. The acid test of whether or not you're a Christian is, do you know that Jesus Christ is in you? And you go, well, how would I know? Well, if the risen Christ, Jesus, lives inside of you, you'll know. It's kind of like asking me, how will I know if I got run over by a truck? You'll know. And so if Jesus Christ lives inside of you, your chance has chanced upon the fields of Boaz. And you have favor in his sight. No matter where you've come from, no matter what your history is, no matter how much you've fouled it up to this point. You may not be like anybody else. When she said that second time, that, but I'm not like any of them. And the result was, not only was she satiated, but she had enough overflow for others. Just because of favor. Just because of the kindness of God. That's what the Lord's saying to us in our day. It's one of those things that I really can't get preachy about because I don't want to push. It's grace. You understand? Naomi didn't, I mean, Ruth didn't have to push. She just wandered out there and her chance chanced upon. Well, you may not realize what field you've landed in, but your chance chanced upon this field of Boaz. And he's watching over you because he wants to include you. He wants to give you favors, kindness in his heart. He knows everything about you. He wants to include you into everything he has, and you've done nothing to deserve it. Nothing. Because he wants to so satiate you, starving one, that there's just an overflow of grace that comes out of you that satiates the lives of others. And it's effortless. Favor's effortless. I mean that in terms of spiritual strain. You don't have to sweat on the inside to make it happen. You just... enjoy. Okay. Well, that's Chucky's story hour for the first day of the year. I just think that I do believe in transactions. I believe that there are some of you who just don't get this thing about grace. And you're just trying so hard, you get bent towards yourself all the time. If you doubt your salvation, that's because you're bent towards yourself. You think it's about you. What you do and don't do. Man, once she landed in the field of Boaz, it was all about him. And he said, don't go anywhere else. Just keep coming here. And there was an abundance. She went home with 35 pounds. Of barley. I would just encourage you for the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see that your chance is chanced upon the field of Boaz. In this safe place of extraordinary, endless favor. That's got everything to do with who he is and what he has and his performance and nothing with you. And that blessing and that favor changes you. It changes your position. She was a gleaner. Then she sat with the reapers. Then she, it went on and on. Grace changes your posture, changes you, elevates you until you find yourself literally living in the bosom of the Father, seated in heavenly places going, wow, how did this kind of life end up like this? How did this happen? Because that's part of the field of Boaz, your kinsman redeemer. He became you so he could be your kinsman redeemer. He has what it takes. And the fact that he hung on a cross proves you his strong desire to you to live in plenty, spiritually and emotionally, not lack. Okay? Well, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Ruth. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, for being our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, that you became one of us, Lord. You forever became human, the human God, so that you could be our kinsman redeemer. Lord, you had to become begotten of the Father. You had to be born as a man to be able to save mankind. Come on, Lord. That's so amazing. We thank you, Boaz, for your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.